The following programming is sponsored by
MBC Media.
The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing.
Welcome back to the Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Conservative Voice on WWDB AM 860 in Philadelphia. This is your host, Gary Heasley. I'm in the studio with Ada Nestor. Ada, welcome.
Hello, hour two.
Yeah, hour two. It'll be a good hour, I'm sure, because we've got Emerald Robinson joining us in about 15 minutes. And, yeah. You know, for those that are aware, which I think is most people, Emerald is a former White House correspondent for OAN. She you know, was there in that little room for a few years, and then she started a show called The Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson, which is on Lindell TV, and she will join us at 1:15. So we'll be chatting with her then. But in the meantime, there are a couple other things to chat about, and one of those is a discussion we were having beforehand about this mother.
Oh my gosh. Yes, this mother who is married to a man who serves our military, who was running her military base's parent group, had a really interesting video that she shared. She was really excited about something, and she was asking her children.
Now, she shared this on public. I mean, in other words, she thought this was great.
Yes.
She thought it was good enough and special enough to share on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, if we could, let's play that clip.
I have the best news ever.
What? Donald Trump died?
Second best news.
The president died?
Okay, third best news.
That Elon Musk died?
Okay, no. Nobody died. My best friend's getting married.
Which one is it?
Taylor Swift! Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got engaged!
Can you even imagine that? Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. I can't imagine that at all.
Those are small children. Well, you know, Gary does some magic behind the scenes after the show is over. So when you see this clip later, you'll likely see the video. These are young children. What are they being taught in that home? That is what they're saying.
They're being taught to cheer the death of people they disagree with politically at an age where they don't have any political views.
Yeah.
They know nothing.
And worse than that, they're being taught to like Travis Kelce.
Their mother's, beliefs that she's pumping into their heads. And it's troubling. I mean, I can't imagine being in a discussion with parents, say, you know, in decades past, and celebrating the fact that somebody just got shot.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine it. The nature of that discussion, and then the thing they get really excited about is that this singer and some football guy got engaged, as if they have a personal relationship with
her
them.
Best friend, she said. This woman is so delusional. She said, my best friend just got engaged. This is a stranger on the internet. Like, they are not best friends. This woman is delusional.
That's right. Yeah, Taylor Swift does not know this woman exists.
Yeah.
And yet the belief is that somehow they have a personal relationship. And these kids know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now the kids have been trained to celebrate, well, that would be celebrity.
Har.
Well, on one hand, celebrate death of somebody that you don't like. And on the other hand, you know, really celebrate the celebrity. Really go after a singer. This woman's a singer. They don't know anything about her. She does songs about, you know, breakups with boyfriends and stuff. I mean,
be real. Travis Kelce is an aging football player who, you know, has had a real rough start this season.
Well, truth be told, I don't know anything about him.
I do.
I mean, you know.
I'd be happy to tell you.
Go
Birds.
He's
off to a great start so far. Dropping passes in the end zone. Thank you, Travis. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
So he's, okay, there you go.
We just beat them. I know you don't watch football.
No, I don't watch football.
I do participate in some of the bread and circuses, okay? I need a break. And I love my Philadelphia Eagles and the Phillies, so... Yeah, go Birds.
This guy's still playing. I mean, but it's just the whole thing is preposterous. So not only are these kids being trained to celebrate death, and this goes to the whole discussion we had earlier about this culture of death that has been created in our youth. You know, and we've seen this growing for years. When if you go back 50 years, even 60, 70 years, you'll see that like kids went to school carrying guns.
Yeah.
They took guns to school because they had rifle class. They had rifle club. They had
rifle racks in their trucks. Literally, that's where their guns were if they weren't using them.
That's right. They would go hunting after class. I know people that used to take shotguns to school and put them in their lockers.
Yeah.
Now, these are people that would be, you know, I don't know when they went to school. It was a long time ago. But you know, that
the 1900s at some point.
It would have been, yes, in the before time. So it was a common practice, and there were no shootings. Nobody got shot at school. Mm-hmm. Nobody freaked out because a kid was walking down the hallway with a rifle. He was taking a rifle class. And now we've got this thing that's been developing for decades where kids are getting more and more violent.
Yeah.
And it is clear that there is a concerted effort in these schools. We've spent hours and hours talking about how kids in schools are not being educated in reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're being indoctrinated into an ideology. And part of the ideology is what we saw with these young children. That is really disturbing that these young girls are jumping up and down, celebrating this woman is and the football guy. But they're hoping that the good news is Donald Trump is dead. And that came up spontaneously.
Yeah.
If that wasn't scripted by mom, I mean, obviously it's scripted by mom in the bigger sense, but if she didn't tell him, now I'm going to turn on the camera, say this. If that was, and I think there's a good chance that was actually spontaneous.
I think it was totally spontaneous. I actually wrote a piece in Substack this week, and it's titled "The Catastrophic End of Militant Youth Indoctrination." And that is exactly what we're witnessing across the board, that this mother thinks whatever she's teaching her children behind the scenes, not on camera, that they came up with that spontaneously as their response should tell us what's going on behind the scenes. These people believe their ideology is worth fighting and dying over.
Well, and they believe that others think that. So it was in the middle
I think they might, though.
In the middle of the 15-16 campaign, I had someone I was talking to who was, I guess at that time in his 60s, a gay man, had just a magnificent life, free, you know, prosperous, travels the world. And he was talking about how Mike Pence is hunting gay people and really wants to kill him. If he gets to win, then he's going to mount a campaign to kill gay people. And this guy believed it.
Sure.
Now, he was otherwise a rational, productive, normal person. You could travel with him. You could go to dinner with him. It was fine until you got to politics. And all of a sudden it was, you know, I'm being hunted. I'm oppressed. You take that out of an adult, get him to that point. Imagine what they've done to these kids.
Yeah.
You know, and we've also talked about the way sexuality has been promoted in these schools so that they drive these kids down this idea of saying, question everything, even your identity, even your gender. You know, your parents aren't bad people. They're just ignorant. They just don't know anything.
They just don't understand you.
Yeah. I talked to a kid that had just graduated a few years earlier, met him in Tennessee, and he talked about what it was like to come out of college as what he called a regular leftist like everyone else. He had a brother who was a policeman who he said would not give up on him and took him on ride-alongs and other things so he could see reality, and it shifted him back to being normal. He was a Trump voter in 20. But he said without his brother, he would be absolutely as radicalized as everyone else his age.
And they are the radicalization. You know, I think people thought maybe it died down because in the last few years, it has been a little quiet if you are comparing it to the summer of love of 2020, right? We're not seeing these riots that we saw. Any marches were kind of limited. Protests were very situational. They weren't as widespread.
Mm-hmm.
I think those people simply got quiet, started organizing, and started training. And if you go on Reddit and you look at some of these Reddit pages, they give each other instructions. They motivate each other to take violent acts. They encourage violence against those who they disagree with. Even in the Twitch community, you have people, you know, Twitch is a gaming video platform, streaming services, our service. You go on and you play Call of Duty and everyone can watch what you're doing, right? Well, there's radicals on there telling people that they should be violent, that they should take to the streets, that they should physically make these people, us, afraid to be in public, because they think that if we're afraid to be in public, then maybe Trump will dial down the temperature. Well, right. Guess what? Trump's the one that got shot. It's our people being shot at these events now, apparently, right? So,
well, our
we're
people are students
enough.
Or right. passersby. Sometimes right. it's random people that are just, you know, at a grocery store or in a crowd. And it's just completely out of control. The idea that, well, going, I don't want to go back to Kimmel in any length, but the comment that he made, which was clearly not something he came up on his own, that the MAGA world or Republicans or conservatives were trying to make the shooter that shot Charlie Kirk, trying to make him not be one of theirs, but that is what he was.
Yep, he was MAGA.
A conservative MAGA. That was ridiculous, preposterous on its face. But they pushed those narratives. Now, I know a guy who's a smart guy who uses Reddit all the time. Mm. He's in Reddit every day, all day long.
I go on, but not for enjoyment.
Well, it's a good place to find out what they're thinking.
Yep.
But it is something that he's in constantly, and we've seen him move more and more and more radical over time, to the point that we really, we almost really can't communicate with him anymore. We can talk about something silly like, a sandwich at a restaurant or something that we're having or whatever, but you cannot have a substantive conversation with him. And then behind the wall at Reddit are these moderators.
Mm-hmm. Ghislaine Maxwell was a famous secret moderator.
Yes.
On an anti-Trump group on Reddit.
And if you don't know who the moderators are, and they're in there actively working it all day, and you're subjected to that, how do you know that the information you're getting is good or bad? Well, that's the thing, that the people in Reddit aren't asking those questions. That's the community where they think they're learning what's going on in the mm-hmm. world. And that's far more important to them than corporate media.
It's the moderators curating the content on each of these pages. They are curating what you see. And if they have a particular ideology that they are hoping to instill into you, they're only going to approve the posts that further their mission.
Right. So when, you think about this, it is not a one-off thing that some kid's just sitting in his bedroom and he just gets the idea, hey, I'm going to go to school and do something violent today. Or one kid that's just sitting in his room alone. There has been a conspiracy of years that has been put in place to drive these kids to a certain ideology. We all know the goal is to basically undermine Western civilization. We've seen this in yep. a lot of what we've done. But this ideology has been pushed in these children, and they've been pushed to more and more extreme views. And now, yeah, we see the outcome. There are litter boxes in some schools.
Yeah.
Litter boxes. And that's bizarre.
And if you already have lost your grasp on reality, right, which I would argue anyone who believes they're an animal or the opposite sex has lost their objective relationship with reality, it seems that population of people could easily be swayed to lose grasp of reality in other situations that could drive them to violence, which is what we're seeing.
So there's got to be a spark, a trigger that pushes them off the end. And one of the questions being asked now is, what's that trigger? What is the trigger that's pushing them off at the end? But the foundational build out of the foundation that is done with Twitch and Reddit and frankly with movies, with all
Discord,
the media.
Discord, Signal. I mean, it's not necessarily the platform, really. I mean, you can find hatred on every single platform.
Yes.
But it is prolific in some of these.
Moderated, targeted propaganda that is designed to move kids to an extremist point of view where they may then be able to be triggered to take action.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them spontaneously come up with it on their own. Maybe. But
I think it's networks.
Going back to the whole MK Ultra thing, mm-hmm. On all the sub operations of that, decades and huge amounts of money spent trying to figure out how to manipulate people into doing things they would not otherwise do.
Entrapment, of which we saw a perfect example in the last few years of the Whitman assassination plot.
Oh,
those
Governor
attorneys,
Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan.
Yep. Yeah. So these FBI agents got into a chat room on Discord or something with these men and gave them all the instructions on how you would carry out such an attack and essentially entice them or entrap them into considering it, or I'm not even sure of all the details. The most important detail is, though, they were not found guilty. They were freed because they did not come up with the plan and they did not carry out a plan. They were pushed to it.
Well, that's right. And they were given the explosives. They were given the money. Yeah. They were given the plans. They were given the vehicles. I mean, yeah. So you know, it's one of these things. There was, and that's not a new act.
No.
If you go back to a guy named John DeLorean, we've talked about him a long, long time ago. But John DeLorean was a GM official. He left General Motors and went out to start his own company. He made this stainless steel car that was really modernistic and future looking. And that, of course, became the car in Back to the Future, the DeLorean. Well, his car company was targeted by all the major manufacturers. They used Congress to go after him. They went after him on safety issues and other things. And in the end, then, his company needed $17 million. Everybody knew it. So he was approached by someone. It turned out that he ends up in the middle of a drug deal where he's told he's going to get $21 million or something. And everyone in the room but him is an FBI agent. The people that brought the drugs were FBI. The people that brought the money were FBI. The people that bought the drugs were FBI. The people that took the money. And they just got a guy that was so desperate and manipulated him until they got him to that point. Now, he was broken. That was the end of DeLorean Motors. That was the end of his adventure with this incredible car, which was really awesome.
Yeah, I've never heard that story before. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, DeLorean was, and then
well, I know. Yeah, I didn't know.
In the end, he was acquitted, as it was entrapment.
Yeah.
And so then we see that with him, and decades later with the Gretchen Whitmer story.
There's a playbook. You know the plays, you can see them pulling it out and using different pages from it.
Well, and think about it. With the Whitmer story, it wasn't about getting those guys. Nobody cared about those guys. With DeLorean, they wanted DeLorean. They wanted to stop his company. Here, they just wanted a media story they could push.
To say, these people pushing against our policies, we're trying to save lives. Look at what happened. These men tried to kill me. Everyone be quiet. Don't criticize us.
Just think about how crazy this is that they said, in order to create talking points, we're going to create a scheme to entrap these guys in a kidnapping. It's crazy.
And honestly, thank God they had good attorneys. Because I'd bet $100, let's say, there have been more cases than we know where this has happened and those people were found guilty and are sitting in prison
now. I'm sure. Now, remember, one of the ways I think that case got started was that they had a friend call and say, hey, you should talk to this person and talk to them about what they're doing. And they sort of sucked them in. And that friend, of course, was in trouble. The FBI used him. The complexity of that scheme was so extraordinary. And then what happened to the guy who led that scheme? He ended up in D.C., I think.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He ended up being in the office in D.C. somewhere around January 6th.
Nice.
So, right.
The agent involved.
Remember?
Yes. You're correct.
So, you know, this is such a complex conspiracy for them to put together just to get talking points to push on corporate media that would have just made up the story anyway. Like, they didn't have to actually do this. Corporate media would say anything for them. So I think we have to stop and question everything around us always and think carefully. Does that make sense? When you see these things that just seem to not make sense, it's okay to say, does that make sense?
Right.
I mean, there are some other things that we talk about that are happening in Pennsylvania in politics. You're looking around going, this is just silly. I mean, it's obviously not true. This is obviously silly. And yet the way the zeitgeist moves, the sort of conservative or Republican community in Pennsylvania is following nonsense because it's being pushed their way.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, since we may have a minute here before Emerald joins us, I think she just called in.
She's in, yeah.
We have five bills, gun control bills, being pushed in Pennsylvania. While everyone is distracted by everything else, they are going to try and push five separate gun control bills through the PA committee into the House and vote on that.
Yeah.
If they get that through, Shapiro will sign these bills. Real quick, HB 837 is handgun rationing. HB 1099, it deals with so-called ghost guns. HB 1593 is a gun registry by stripping current transfer provisions. HB 1859 is a red flag regime. HB 1866 redefines offensive weapon to ban items like Glock switches on top of the existing federal law. So I also have a call to action on my Substack. If anyone wants to grab that, my Reflections from the Edge gives you a template that you can use to call, text, post on social media. Let them know that we will not accept these restrictions on our Second Amendment.
So, yeah, this is an important thing. Now, there have been a lot of bills that go through the House on gun control and other things that are just crazy now. And the only barrier that Pennsylvania has to letting any of these things get through are three extra seats in the Senate.
Thin line.
It is an incredibly delicate balance here. Yep. So let's shift gears, though. And we have with us a guest who has joined us before. We always love these conversations. Emerald Robinson, welcome to the Conservative Voice on WWDB AM 860 in Philadelphia.
Hi, Gary. It's good to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you back. You know, the number of issues we got to talk about is just unbelievable, never ending. One that we touched on earlier that I think you've hit on is this Operation Arctic Frost. You know, we were talking a moment ago about the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping conspiracy that was committed by the FBI. You know, this Arctic Frost thing is another one of these moves where the government's using all of its forces, all of its resources to go after political opponents of the regime in power. And, you know, what are your thoughts?
Well, when Grassley released those documents this week, it just further confirmed, it was further confirmation of what we knew was going on behind the scenes, right? We knew that actually, I'm a little bit late to this today because Mike Lindell just called me, and that's part of what he was talking about.
Is it really?
my boss over at Lindell TV, he was on the list. But not only was he on the list, a couple of banks that would only be banks he was banking at were on the list.
Wow.
And remember the whole debanking scandal?
Oh, yes.
Mike had been debanked multiple times. So had Dr. John Eastman, who was on the list. And I asked them both this week, you know, do you think that's part of why you all were debanked? And both of them said, oh, absolutely. You know, of course, a lot of these banks, not one of the ones Mike banked at were particularly political, but most of them are, right? And they're willing to do this. But of course, when they get pressure from the government and having to answer and comply, it's just easier to end the account as well.
It certainly makes more sense now knowing that, right? We knew that people were being debanked debanked, all right? They're having their accounts canceled, but we didn't know exactly what was going on behind the scenes. But you're right. If they're getting subpoenas and they're getting all of this pressure from the U.S. government, it is not beneficial for them, I'm sure, in their minds to deal with that stress if they're not ideologically sound.
Well, I don't think you'd have to nudge some of these banks too hard.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, right. Some of them, sure.
They're like, yeah, they're on narrative. I mean, they spend a lot of time in Davos.
But it makes sense. I didn't even.
That's what Dr. Eastman said too, Gary. He was just like, you know, the Bank of America, I don't think they had to push very hard there. Because remember, Bank of America had just offered up the bank records of anyone who was in the D.C. vicinity of J6, which is totally unconstitutional.
Yeah. Now, I remember that, too.
Yeah, that was incredible. And it was, as you said, voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the level of complicity between these groups, the banks, the big corporations, you know, social media and the government has been exposed so clearly. The Twitter exposure was really big, you know, when that first hit. And Twitter was being exposed for what they did. That alone should have been a scandal that stopped the country in its tracks.
Yeah, it should have, but it didn't. And, I mean, there's still such mass suppression on social media, even X now.
True, yes, I can confirm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're also still suppressed, Ada?
Oh, absolutely. I actually just showed Gary today. Last week, I went to look at Mark Mitchell's page because I noticed I hadn't been seeing his posts. And we communicate on that platform. Obviously, we're friendly. He comes on the show frequently. I wasn't following him anymore. Today, in the studio, I pull up TC Voice on you know, my laptop here just to pull something for Gary before the show. I'm not following TC Voice WWDB on Twitter anymore. I literally can log into that page and post from that page, but nope, not following anymore. I guess I'm mad at Gary today.
Well, and we've had a lot of people that have followed, and we don't have a bigger number.
Right.
you know, we're sort of trapped. So there's no question it's still going on.
Yeah.
And we know that they had pipelines into these social media platforms. But when you get this exposure again from a Grassley, and so it's very hard for people to say, well, he's just being political or he's just crazy or
they
whatever.
They do say it, though.
They try, but it's yeah. hard. I mean, it's better just to bury it when it comes from somebody like him. Just hide it.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not the only major revelation we've had. We've had just a huge series of revelations. We just had Nicholas Holscher on talking about the injections, the COVID injections, and how those have now been exposed, been doing everything that was said that was being done back when they started. Everything that was claimed turns out to be true. Ugh. Yet it's not a scandal. It's not shutting down the country. So,
yeah. You know what? I agree with you. Just this week alone, the amount of information that has come out and revelations. Just another example is there was too much to watch even this week for someone like me who lives and breathes it. And I had talked to Congressman Massey recently on my show about his discharge petition for the Epstein files. He, in I believe it was Wednesday's hearing with Cash Patel on the Hill, told him that he knows that in some of those documents at the FBI, there are 20 high-powered men named, among them a Hollywood producer, a former president, so we all know who that is, and then he named several other industry moguls as, you know, as far as their occupation, and said, you know, why can't those be released, and why are the Epstein victims who want their own files and requesting them via FOIA being denied? And I mean, I didn't, as much as I follow this story, I didn't even see that until this morning. What concerns me is that now everything's coming so fast and hard. It's almost as if, and then with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, everyone's kind of desensitized to it. So they're not getting to see everything and see the revelations and the truth coming out. It's overwhelming a bit.
When you see the flooding the zone, I call it flooding the zone, right? When you see something from multiple angles flooding the zone and making it almost impossible to follow it, I always think operation. Like I think operation every time there's too much information for us to all take in. That way they can say, we told you though. We told you. We put it out. You just didn't see it. So this is not surprising to be in a week like this too. And I agree with you. I can't even tell you how many hearings I watched this week, but only half of them were live because I would have to save one to go back and watch later because there were other hearings going on at the same time while the media is moving a million miles per minute.
Right. Yeah. I will tell you, I've just had this sort of feeling that I can't quite put a pin on that something's different. Like there, something seriously has changed. And in some ways, I think there's a really positive change coming. This reaction to Charlie Kirk is incredible to me. I've seen young people that are re-energized and people that are coming out and
going to church.
But it feels to me like there's something behind the scenes. There's something dark going on that I can't quite nail.
I agree. I think that, like you said, there's some positive developments in that. You know, what's been huge for me is having been someone, as both of you as well are like this, you've talked about the topics while they were taboo. And we've always questioned the narrative, right? But we've so much been in the minority. And like you said, Ada, they point to you and say you're crazy to try to delegitimize what you're saying. But this time around, I think for the first time ever, really, it felt like the majority of people were questioning the narrative and saying, particularly with Charlie Kirk's assassination, it doesn't make sense, and not just accepting what they've been fed.
Yeah,
we have a much
bigger level of skepticism now. But this discussion with Nicholas on the injections, right? So now there's this hardcore evidence. Go back to what I said again, the Twitter exposures. What happened there? You know, they're still really good at making these things go away.
Yep.
They're good at making this stuff disappear and not actually result in a positive action happening. And I think that's somehow we have to reach more people. That's really what it is.
Right.
We have to reach more people.
Well, because it is frustrating. Emerald, I'm sure for you, you are out there. You're putting your credibility on the line. You're trying to warn people. I didn't want to be right about the things I warned about 5 years ago. I hoped I was wrong. Gosh, I wish I was wrong about some of those things. but I was warning those people because I cared about them, not because I wanted to be right. I cared about their well-being. And, you know, the majority of the people I cared about their well-being 5 years ago are not in my life today because I warned them about the things that are now true. Yeah. So it's a really crazy period of time to live through and to be able to see these things come around and be verified.
Yeah. In a normal
They rarely forgive you when you're right, Ada. Right so early.
Right.
It's true. You know, and I was speaking earlier about this obsession with Kimmel, and you know, it's getting so much airplay. That's going on. That's the amount of time that you spend on Arctic Fox.
Right.
Or Arctic Frost. That's the amount of time that you spend on these injections. But it's this massive distraction. Why does anyone care that this extraordinarily rich man is not going to be able to be on a primetime television show or a prime network anymore? Who cares? And yet we're being drawn into that.
Unfunny.
Yes.
Oh, he was not
incredibly unfunny. He was not a funny man. Good grief, guys.
But that, you know, I guess that's, you know, all of this is the reason that we've done what we've done over these last 4 or 5 years, why we've done, you know, all these town halls and the shows. We had a town hall last night in a place we'd never done one before. And some folks were saying, like, why do you do this again? And it's like, well, we do this because we like to get a chance to pull the community together to have conversations about what's really going on, right? In person. So you could be, it's live, it's Q&A, let's go. And the conversations are fascinating.
He went into the Devil's Den last night. He was just outside of Philadelphia, 69th Street area, right?
Oh yeah, way behind enemy lines.
He was down there.
Oh yeah, and the crowd was great.
He had
a great
turnout.
Crowd.
Yeah.
You know.
It's fun though, isn't it? As
yes.
long as you're not physically attacked.
Yeah.
It's fun to debate like that.
It really is. It is really great. And then people have all these questions. And when you're all together in a group, you can kind of come to an answer, right? Mm-hmm. So it was great then doing that last night. And we had some young folks. We had some folks that are retired. We had a lot of different kinds of people. And so when you've got that much difference in the crowd, the conversation's even better.
Real quick, sorry, Emerald. Gary needs to promo the town hall we're doing on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So on Thursday, the 25th in Malvern, we're going to do a town hall with Kurt Weldon, who was a congressman years ago. He's very active with firemen and fire protection services kind of stuff. That's his cause. And we're going to be talking about 9/11. Now, Kurt was just at a conference on 9/11, but frankly, I mean, if you've heard any of his conversation, he knows a lot of things that nobody else knows. So it's going to be great to get him in there where we can have that same kind of discussion where we're going back and forth and hearing it directly from him, what he knew from the position he was in and the committees he was on and the questions he asked that resulted in him no longer being in Congress. So we're looking forward to this. So that'll be the 25th. We're going to start at 7 o'clock at the Desmond Hotel in Malvern.
Sorry.
Did you stream these? That sounds like that will be fascinating.
I know.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. We typically don't stream the live ones because they're really hard to do.
Well, and also,
we may have to figure it out.
Our audience enjoys a certain level of anonymity coming to our events, and they've appreciated that we've protected them all of this time.
That's true. I mean, you know, remember when we started doing town halls and everybody was paranoid, Arctic Frost was going on.
Oh my gosh, think about it. So Gary and I met the summer of 2021 and we all worked together with a group of people to create Chesco United, right?
Yep.
Our first rally was in September. I was running for school board, so my involvement was secret because we couldn't have the radicals coming after me for being a conspiracy theorist election denier. And we had an event. It was a very large event. We had Doug Mastriano, Seth Keschel, David Clements, Dr. Frank, all of these people. CNN was at the end of the driveway recording all of the license plates and vehicles of every single person that came in.
I forgot about that.
And we were called paranoid for being aware of it. We were the paranoid ones. Excuse me. I don't see the media at your events recording your license
plates.
Just
recording license plates.
Yep.
And where this was in a place where we were really like down a long driveway to the venue.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was the only way they could do it was from the street.
And it was obvious. There was no shop across the street that they were visiting. It was farmland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were doing
that. They're totally diabolical.
Yeah. Sorry, that totally just reminded me of that. I completely forgot about that.
I forgot CNN at doing that. But people came in and said, why is there someone at the end of there? They recorded my license plate.
Hilariously. And coincidentally, which I love how that works out occasionally, the woman who helped us plan that actually sent me a message to remind me that the deadline that Donald Trump's election integrity executive order gave was Sunday, November 21st. And we have multiple states, I believe, that have still not complied. Is that right? Have you heard anything on that? Are things about to get hot and heavy next week?
I have heard that they will.
Yes.
I was told today that the executive order, the rumor of the second follow-up executive order is currently being drafted.
Amazing.
Because I've been asking and asking and asking. And so, of course, I asked who was drafting it because that makes a big difference too, right? It matters as to the likelihood of it getting done and signed. And it is Stephen Miller. So that's great news.
That is great news.
My spirit animal. I love that man. Good gosh.
He's brilliant.
He's brilliant.
I mean, he really is. And especially with the drafting of executive orders. Remember during the transition, it was he and Michael Anton holed up in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
Drafting a bunch of those initial ones that we saw. Michael Anton is actually, I think he's leaving the administration this week. He had been in a key position at the State Department. But as far as the election executive order, I don't have a timeline. They can't do it soon enough, let's be honest.
Right.
But with the November coming up, I would hope that we would see it in the next few weeks, but it is actively being drafted by Stephen Miller. So that's great news. Secondly, as far as fireworks, man, it's so hard sometimes when I want to say more, but I would just say, look out for the name Panama Express next week.
Oh,
I saw your post on that, and I thought, now that's interesting. So,
yeah,
but you can't reveal what Panama Express is expressing.
I can't. I can say that there is a little bit of history there, so you could search for something. But it won't probably get you to where, like, happening now. But it does have a history. But that name will come back up,
mm-hmm.
I'm told, this week.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on your feed for that. And you and Patrick Byrne have been talking a lot about what went on in election fraud. Can you give us a sense of these things? Because the things that are being exposed are so far outside of what anyone can process, a normal person, you know?
Sure.
Give us a sense of what you're learning here.
Well, since Patrick Byrne and Gary Burnson, you know, the legendary station chief, CIA station chief, who was the first one to go into Afghanistan and could have probably, he didn't really need to be in there forever if Rumsfeld had backed him up. And others have said publicly now, so, mm-hmm. Our elections are essentially run by foreign actors, okay? Sheriff Darlees of Michigan has put out a lot of evidence that includes emails to Dominion's Belgrade office in Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
That's where around 30%, given whatever market share they have in any election cycle, okay, Dominion, our votes are ended up, they're being processed on Huawei servers, okay, Chinese servers. And Darlees, just 2 weeks ago, released emails of Serbian Dominion workers talking with Chinese entities at Hewlett-Packard and talking about how they can obscure the firmware in such a way that the U.S. won't be aware that there's Chinese involvement. Oh, and you can go and see that. That's on Darlees. He's a sheriff in Michigan. He has the emails and he put them there. So you don't have to take my word for it. Go look. So what has also been revealed is that there's a guy named Ronald Morales.
Mm-hmm.
He has worked at Smartmatic. He's worked at Dominion. He's worked at several different of the entities. According to emails released by Darlees, he's went back and forth between Serbia and China several times. And he helped set up the VPN. He's a Venezuelan guy.
Okay.
Smartmatic. So what we're now finding is a triangle, right, between Smartmatic's software, which is Venezuelan, many Venezuelan nationals who will be named. Remember, several Venezuelan nationals are indicted currently, and their trial starts the first week of October, who were Smartmatic executives. This is going to be really important, so go get read up on that. If you're interested in this election security stuff and what has happened and how they've been stealing our elections, look at the Southern District of Florida, the USA versus Smartmatic case. Is it Smartmatic? Well, it's four of their executives that include Roger Pignate and Anthony Mujica. That trial is about to start the first week of October, and that's where they bribed Philippine officials for Smartmatic software. But there's so much more to that. And so that's a big trial we're waiting to watch. We'll see if it gets pushed, because this stuff keeps getting pushed. All of these election cases that are still going keep getting pushed, and there's so much going on behind the scenes. What Patrick and Gary has revealed publicly, okay, I don't want to get any trouble with any of my sources, but what has been said publicly is that in the 11th hour on any election cycle, that Serbia office, according to them, has the ability to flip a certain number of votes that can swing an election. Because remember, they have about 30% of the market share. But also, essentially, all voting machines use the basically the same software. There's been so much changing of hands and licensing of this Smartmatic software to use in different kind of machines, right? So really, all electronic voting machines at this point are what we'll say vulnerable to be safe, okay?
Yeah.
They're hackable, and that's been proven. They do this switch. But in 2024, a group of white hats stop that from happening by essentially shutting down the grid, shutting down the Belgrade office for 3 days. So for 3 days around the November election, they couldn't do anything.
When you say the grid, you mean the power grid?
Servers at all. Yeah, like the electricity, they shut down. From what I'm told, they fried it, they fried their power for several days in a several block radius.
It's interesting you say that, because I have heard similar stories being undertaken for the 2016 election, which is why she never thought she would lose.
I've never heard that about 2016, but I assume based on people that don't want to talk about things, you know, on the Republican side, I feel that they're afraid his 2016 election will be called into question. There's certain people who are Trump supporters who don't want to talk about it, right?
Right. But they called Trump's election into question back in 2016. And
the Democrats did,
Yeah. And so what it appeared to me in 16 was, I knew there was some kind of rigging. I had no idea how extensive it was. But she was so confident that she didn't campaign. I think he just overwhelmed the algorithm, as they say.
I think that's definitely a possibility. And the people I talk to say that that definitely helps. But ultimately, they explained to me, had there not been this, you know, shutting down of that Belgrade office, that they still technically could have pulled it off. Would it have looked really bad?
Yep.
It would have been very obvious, right? Especially considering in your state, right, you had hundreds of thousands less mail-in ballots. So it had to be very obvious if they did flip the switch.
Right. The crazy thing is,
and it definitely helps.
2020 looks so obvious to us. So can you imagine what it would have looked like if it was more obvious than 2020?
Well, see, so my, you know, unsupported theory is that it would have been so obvious to take away the election from Trump in 2024. So that just simply couldn't happen. And we were saying then something happened that stopped the fraud. Like, we could tell there was some force out there, but we couldn't identify what it was. This Serbian story makes sense, because we also know that these servers are vulnerable. So if that's...
And here's the thing. I know that the Director of National Intelligence has all this information and the real receipts for it. I have seen some, okay? I've seen a lot of the communications. I've seen a lot of the intelligence documents. I'm not allowed to, you know, share those. I'm not allowed to even, I can just look. It's for my eyes only. I have to see what I can see. And then, you know, but I know that Tulsi has it. And from what I've been told, mm-hmm. the plan is to release as much as possible to the public.
Yep.
That's what people are pushing for, and that's what she wants. Because the public has to see all this for themselves to understand it. Because, I mean, you and I agree, even for us, initially it sounds pretty wild, right? It
yeah.
sounds like it's out of a, like, Matt Damon movie or something. It's like Jason Bourne. So the American people really have to see this intelligence to understand, I think, and understand why the Trump administration has to act. And from what I've been told all along, that's the plan. But now, of course, there are the people still in the intelligence community. There's a large portion of them that are still owe their allegiance to John Brennan because sure. he put them in place.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're seeing that battle rage as they try to even give the intelligence to the president. Not even getting to the point of releasing it to the American people yet. They're even trying to keep it from going to President Trump. And that really came to a head about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And Donald Trump got very mad. So the push is to show this to the American people. And I think they have to.
Yeah.
I think they have to put it in video form, explain it, let the people see the communications and understand that, you know, this has to be fully transparent because otherwise it sounds implausible.
It well, really
most
does.
People.
And transparency is necessary so that people can learn what happened, see how it affected yeah. them, and not repeat the same mistakes in the future. If you just bury it and hide it in the filing cabinet and never really give everyone the full picture, they can't recognize it when it's deployed again.
Well, and also they're always telling us, just trust us, right? Nobody has trust. I mean, just look at this situation with Charlie Kirk and the number of people questioning the official narrative.
Right.
And the FBI has lied to us so much. The people on both the left and the right now are saying, why would we ever believe the FBI at this point?
Well, and you could say, well, there's a new leader in place. But, you know, these organizations are bigger yeah. than the leader. And one of the things that we've heard from guys like John Nance and Chris Hinkle is more of that perspective from the brick agents, they call them, right? The guys out on the street solving crimes.
Field the
guys,
office. The field guys office
that,
agents.
That would, well, even at the field offices, though, some of the people in those field offices were not great. But the regular folks that wanted to enforce law, well, they were never called into these meetings. They were never called into these schemes, the Gretchen Whitmer scheme. You know, these
right.
are really good people that just happen to work at the FBI. But to your point, we've been lied to about, I don't know, every major story for the last 20 years. So I don't.
20 years. But,
well, okay. You know, it depends on how long you've been listening.
It's 2025. Ruby Ridge was, what was that, 50 years ago now? When was Ruby Ridge? 40 years ago?
Oh, it was a long time.
Right? So, I mean, they've been lying
well,
to us for
decades.
Well,
I think about how many Americans are just now learning what that situation was.
Right?
They had no idea. Never heard about it. And now we start referencing it some, you know, over the last few years.
Yeah.
And they have to go and look for it.
And they're looking back and going, wait a minute, what? What have they right. shot a baby?
That happened?
Yeah.
That,
in our country? You know, we live in this mass delusion that this country is something it isn't. And now these delusions are being peeled away. And I think you're exactly right. They have to be maximum transparency on every issue. So if they've got more on the election system, more on this fraud, even though polling shows a majority of people believe it happened, and it is clear a majority, and it, like 30% yeah. of Democrats even believe, even though we got to show them the facts, we've got to take away the lack of clarity and replace it with absolute clarity.
What's interesting is you have a lot of people who are questioning everything and people are like, why are they asking so many questions? Well, you've been lying to them. Like if people don't know what to believe anymore across the board, and I think that's, you know, across the political division line, no one knows what to believe anymore when it's coming from the media or law enforcement. There's such a severe distrust of authority. It makes you question everything. It makes you wonder what else is going on, what you aren't being told. Now, I will say that I have told plenty of people that we're now in a death penalty case, right? Like we are at a place where we may not get all the answers we want necessarily public before trial. I went through that frustration with the Lori Vallow hearings, with Brian Koberger. I follow all of those things. You know, I wanted information right away and had to wait too. So there's like a there's a place where we can want more questions answered, but then there has to be an understanding that some things we may just have to wait for and be patient with. It's a frustrating predicament to be in.
Well, I will say that is true, especially when you're looking at investigations and you have, like, let's say, people who are a flight risk, right? So you can't put everything out because they know they're going to be targeted and they're going to go.
Yep.
But then there's the things that they do, like just before I joined your program today, have you seen the latest on the text messages of the alleged shooter and his trainee boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. Yep. No.
Oh, well, this is just now happening. So, you know, forgive me. I'm looking, literally had glanced at it before Mike Lindell called me before I got on your show. And that's why I'm late. I'm sorry. But they're now, according to the New York Times, in the charging documents where they said, you know, they released these text messages and those text messages were going everywhere, right? And people were noting, this sounds really odd. This doesn't sound like a 22-year-old talking.
Right.
This sounds weird. Well, now, again, I don't always trust the New York Times, but it sounds plausible. And I'll look more into it when we're off the phone. And maybe you all can look at it and you can clarify it with your audience, you know, since we're kind of going off the cuff here. But they're now reporting that those were reproduced from memory. So the text messages didn't exist anymore. And...
oh, the boyfriend did it? Like the boyfriend reproduced what he remembered of the conversation?
Sorry, my husband jumped in and asked if we were getting the kids. Live radio, there you go.
Hey,
that's it.
That's how it works.
That's right. We have lots of events on this show. Yeah.
So they're saying they were reproduced. So I guess, like, remember the note we were told was destroyed, but he...
reported it. Yeah.
So it lines up. And so that's why people can't trust, right? Why didn't you just say from the beginning that these were, you know, the text messages don't exist, we're trying to acquire them, but according to the boyfriend, this is what he said. But they were misled to, you know, for everyone to believe that this was how it went down, though it did sound so, I mean, I saw a video of this girl making fun of them, and she read them like the, you know, the old letters to, you know,
my dearest,
back in the Victorian age, and it was hilarious.
It was bizarre. When I read those, I said, "This doesn't." It immediately raised questions. You know, this is way too perfect. And the language is so bizarre, and it just seals up all the questions.
So this is Utah leading this case, right? The FBI is not the lead on this case. That's correct, right? It's Utah Police Department, local police department, state AG. That's
who it should be.
I believe
I'm not sure exactly who
they're the ones. They're the ones who filed the charges. They're the ones who put out the documents that we're referring to right now. You can go read the charging documents in full online. So we're not, you know, we're not lying. There's a whole conversation that is reported in those charging documents with a text conversation with, I did not see an indication that this was relayed information. My understanding was it came from a chat. So that is a concern, and it only makes people question what's going on further and for there to be more suspicion and distrust.
Right.
Yeah, they're saying they were reproduced from memory. But again, that's the New York Times report. So we would definitely want to check that. I just talked to former state representative Bill Lyman from from Utah today. And, you know, Utah has some very odd happenings.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of regularly.
Yep.
And I was made aware of it a few years ago. And it's a breeding ground, or, you know, a test ground, I guess is better to say, for some of these globalist initiatives. And he would be a great guest for you all. He explained very, from an insider's perspective, on what is going on in Utah. And we got to talking about how the intelligence community particularly recruits from Utah because of the Mormon Church.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of these kids are, you know, they're multilingual. They speak multiple languages. They go on mission trips, so they have multiple stamps on their passports, and that's attractive to the intelligence community. And he goes into detail about why Utah people didn't know, and they're kind of seeing it a little bit as Spencer Cox came out and was more in front of national media because of the assassination. But it had people asking questions about Utah. And so Phil Lyman explains why Utah can be very problematic. And it was fascinating, so much so that our internet went out on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of my show today, ironically.
I can go deep on Utah.
We can never get it back.
We should come back and have this conversation because I think it's a very important conversation to have. I can go deep on Mormons in Utah.
Our stream onto X crashed about 5 minutes ago. So I had to relaunch. So Emerald, we're running up against the clock, but it's always great to have you on. We enjoy these conversations. For listeners, this is Emerald Robinson from The Absolute Truth on Lindell TV. You know, we throw your stuff up on all of our social media and we repost a lot of your stuff. But thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I hope you will return soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gary and Ada. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.